The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the House of Blues on Caroline for the NCAA Men's National Championship game, presented in part by Papa John's. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Monday. It is a beautiful day outside. It's Championship Monday. And we are at House of Blues, and we will be here until 7 o'clock. So if you're just now getting off work and you're in the area, get your butts down here. And if you're just now getting off work and you're not in the area, you can still get your butts down here. Come hang out with us. Plenty of room, unlike this morning, where people had to get turned away, unfortunately. But there's places for you. Come on out. Joey says on the Facebook page, Villanova puts up the best shooting percentage ever in a Final Four. Kind of sets off the bad shooting atmosphere argument, or was that a fluke? That is something we talked a little bit about yesterday during the meet show.
I don't think Villanova will shoot 75% again.
Is that
bold enough?
Is that something you can put in your notebook?
You can put that in your notebook.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm going to do that. Villanova will not shoot 75% again. Was it a fluke? No. I mean, I think they played out of their minds. They shot like, you know, they hit everything they threw up. And, you know, if they were playing in a better environment, they might have shot 78 or 79%. But that particular game, and everybody's been banging on OU a little bit, but it didn't really matter. Villanova played at a level that they were going to win no matter who they were playing.
Yep.
And I don't think they're going to be able to play that well again, but I do think they have a chance tonight. And I kind of like the 2 points. I haven't decided yet. It's up to 2.5 on my site. Haven't quite decided yet if I'm going to pull a trigger. I'm going to wait and see if maybe it gets to 3.
I was hoping it was going to get to 3. It's starting to look like not. I've already played at 2.5 once. I'll probably play more at 2.5. I like Villanova. I think that they are the run that they're on right now. You talk about the hottest teams going. No one's playing better than them. And they've had tougher matchups than North Carolina has. They've made the teams they've played look worse than North Carolina has. They've been an unstoppable force.
If there's anyone playing as well as them, it's probably North Carolina, though. That's the only thing that gives me a little pause here. But I think if you flip-flop the jerseys and looked at what they've done in the tournament and really what they've done all season, Villanova would be favored.
I think so, too. But that's just the way Vegas works. I mean, if Villanova's jerseys said UCLA or Kentucky, this would probably be a pick 'em, if not Villanova being favored the way they're playing right now. But the reality is it's not. And part of that also stems from the fact that North Carolina has, I hate to say it so bluntly, but they've got better players on their team. They've got bigger star players. They've got better talent on their team than North Carolina does. I mean, to have guys like, you know, Bryce Johnson and Marcus Page, these are guys who would start for any team in the country. I don't know if Villanova really has one of those, although, boy, Chris Jenkins right now, it could probably start for wherever. We'd probably play on the Warriors right now if he wanted to. But I do think that that's part of why you're seeing the number with North Carolina. But, you know, I think that's part of the appeal of Villanova is, you know, they've got – they're not a superstar team, but they are playing better team ball than anybody. And you know, I think that there's a couple keys tonight. You know, what kind of offense is North Carolina going to run, I think, is a big one. Are they going to try and get down low, which is, I guess that's sort of been the game plan for everybody against Villanova, because Villanova only has one big man, and everybody thinks, oh, we'll just get inside, and we'll score at will inside. And for North Carolina, it makes a lot of sense. They do have they do have better players in the front court. They've shown to be a streaky, at best, jump shooting team. Maybe it is a game where they try and just dominate inside. But this is what Villanova's done well. And when Villanova really sort of made the shift defensively to be from being an okay defensive team to being an excellent defensive team, I've heard a lot of people bring up the rebounding numbers and how North Carolina, great offensive rebounding team. They're a good defensive rebounding team. Villanova doesn't care. Villanova doesn't care. Villanova plays for one shot. They play for one good shot, and then everybody gets back and plays defense. And that's to me, it's not necessarily something you want to do all the time. But when you've got a four guard rotation or four guard starting squad, it probably makes some sense. They've got four guards who pass the ball very well. They pass it until they find a good look. They take a shot, and everybody except for Chefu, get back. And if he gets the rebound, that's a bonus. If he doesn't, they're ready to play defense. And I think when they started doing that, when they started to realize that just physically they don't have the size to out-rebound a lot of teams with the guys that they keep on the floor, that to go to that strategy has really worked for them.
Casino J says, if Nova wins, they will have beaten a 4-3, 2-1 seeds.
Yeah.
So talk about earning it. And that gets to your point of having had the tougher run. But, yeah, I like this team, and I think they're going to win, but I'm not going to be shocked at all if it goes the other way. That's why I'm really hoping it gets the three. I do think it's a close game, and I think you're not going to see what you did in the semifinals. I think you're going to see a good basketball game that's well played by both teams instead of just one team. And I think you're going to see a relatively close game, but I think in the end, I'm kind of with you. I think Villanova pulls it out.
And the other thing, while I know because they're smaller, everyone says, oh, well, North Carolina is a much more physical team. I don't know if that's necessarily true because, I mean, for size-wise, yeah. I mean, they're bigger for sure. But when you think about Ochefu and you think about a guy like Josh Hart, who I hate when people say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Like a junkyard dog type of player, like just a guy who goes out and does a little bit of everything and is really gritty and is diving for loose ball. He's that kind of a guy. And he is also not afraid to be physical with bigger guys. I'm curious to see how North Carolina handles him, if they're going to be physical with him on the wing. But I'm a sucker for what I've seen over the last five games. And like most people, you know, coming into this tournament, I would have said North Carolina is one of the more talented teams. North Carolina, if they play their best.
And they have.
If North Carolina plays their best game and Villanova plays their best game, North Carolina wins. But Villanova defensively has done a really good job this tournament of not letting guys play their best game and not giving good open looks. And North Carolina all season long has had trouble with defensive pressure. And if Villanova plays defense the way they have, not even to mention the way they shot the other day, because if that happens, it's over. But if they play defense the way they had, the way they did against Kansas, if they play defense the way they did against Oklahoma, North Carolina's going to struggle. And so that's a young team, with the exception of a few guys, and a young team that if things start to go south, I could see them unraveling a little bit. You saw what happened with Oklahoma started to to feel it slipping away. They started getting sloppy. They started making stupid mistakes.
And that was a senior team.
And it just turned into a truck. And if that happened, yeah, you're talking about a team that's got seniors all over the floor. That happened to them. If this happens to a team with two freshmen, a sophomore, and a couple upperclassmen, it could get ugly in a hurry.
Manny wants to know, what if they shoot 55% talking about Nova? Well, if they play defense the way they've been playing,
they'll be in the game.
Yeah, 55% puts them right there. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. I was kind of amazed to see that both these teams averaged over 80 points a game this year, which says a lot about how good they are on offense.
Well, it's impressive to me for North Carolina, especially because that team tends to sort of grind on offense. They like to maximize the length of a possession, and they happy to draw out games and have fewer possessions. Villanova, it makes some sense because that's a team that goes up and down the court, especially early in the season. They did a lot. But they're both teams that shoot at a high percentage. And North Carolina more so when they're inside. But Villanova, obviously a team that I've said this all about them all season long. They shoot too many threes, but it's hard to complain about that when they make them all.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you want to get in, we come back.
That's like saying, would you ever say Steph Curry shoots too many threes?
No.
There's no such thing as too many threes for Steph Curry.
No, you could argue he doesn't shoot enough.
Yeah, when you make your threes, there's no number that's too many. There's nights when you say, maybe he wants to stop thinking about that. But more often than not, when you got hot shooters, you want them to keep shooting.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Quick Weight Loss Center, and you've heard my story before. How I got weight off, and as a matter of fact, went out and did that Final Four 4-miler on Saturday, which was a really cool deal. All the money went to the Lone Star Veterans Association, and a great turnout. That was a fun race. But those are the kind of things I couldn't have done 2 years ago when I started this because I was too big. And now I'm able to do things like that. I'm able to enjoy life. I'm able to be more active, and it's all thanks to Quick Weight Loss Center. And they help me. They can help you. They've helped a lot of people at our station. They've helped Sean, they've helped Michelle, who's here. All these people have lost weight on Quick Weight Loss Center, and you can do the same. No exercise required, no prepackaged meals. Get 6 weeks for $66. All weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 Houston-area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com or give them a call, 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the House of Blues on Caroline for the NCAA Men's National Championship Game, presented in part by Papa John's. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at House of Blues. If you're just getting off work, come on out. The slightly before getting off work crowd is sort of filing out, so plenty of places for you to hang out here. So come join us out here at House of Blues. Been here all day. Well, we haven't been here all day. We've been here since right before our show. But I want to let you know that the show is brought to you today by Get Me, which is a very cool Texas-based company. You've been trying Uber or Lyft or one of those things. Give these guys a try. They're really good. I'm gonna use them Wednesday to go to the airport. And not only will they guarantee you a safe ride, but they also, if you need something picked up at the store for you, they'll go do that.
They'll bring you a pizza.
Yeah, they'll bring you a pizza.
They'll drop something off for you if you need. They're like a courier service, but they can take humans. I mean, it's a good deal.
Yeah, but not human trafficking.
No, they're against that,
no,
obviously.
Definitely not.
They're good people.
No, but no, please check them out, man. They're really cool. And, if you need something at the grocery store or whatever, not beer, but anything like that, they can get for you. Home stuff, like you need something from Home Depot, they'll go get that and bring it for you. So it's called Get Me. Check them out. All right, so we know there's a lot of dumb questions asked by reporters, especially at events like this. I'm not sure whose side I'm on, but somebody asked Roy Williams kind of a dumb question, but his reaction kind of irritates me.
Roy Williams?
Yeah.
Roy Williams has a tendency to irritate me anyway. I mean, yeah, so I kind of took this as...
He's kind of a dickweed.
Yeah, I took it a little bit... I took it with a grain of salt because I feel like I'm already... Roy Williams said, I'm like, instantly I feel like this obnoxious feeling coming up.
Well, yeah, this guy already basically threatened a reporter last week. But remember the story we talked about. We better step carefully. So here was his response to the question. Well, take this the way it's intended, not to be critical. But I'm a hell of a lot smarter about basketball than you guys are. I mean, I'm serious. What do you do after basketball season's over with? You cover baseball. What do you do after baseball's over with? You cover football. I don't take any breaks. This year than ever, I heard more than ever announcers and writers question things more than I've ever heard. One of the other guys said, we're not in the locker room. We're not at practice every day. If you ask me if I'm as smart of a sports fan as you, I'd say probably not because I don't work on those other sports. But I do see our guys in the locker room every single day. The last question, I wasn't paying attention to who asked it, but we want to be a balanced team. I want to have some contributions from everybody that plays. It is something to listen or read. I haven't read very much this year, to be honest with you. I haven't read many articles, but that's the best answer. First off, I hate I didn't read it, but I'm pissed off at it guy.
Right.
Which is him, because he claimed he didn't read that story last week either, and he's bitching about it. If you're going to complain about something, at least read it. And he read it.
He just tries to discredit it.
That's what's worse. I don't read this stuff. I don't read many articles. Well, then how do you know more announcers are being critical?
Right.
And, yes, you know more about basketball than everybody in that room. Doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that people can't question some of the things you do. That's the other thing that drives me nuts, is because I had a guy who worked for me once and said, well, the Texans know what they're doing because this is their job. They know more about football than we do. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they do it right. And it's like, you know what? I probably know more about radio than most people. Doesn't mean that somebody can't question something. And I just hate I didn't read it, guy.
Nah.
Mott said Roy Williams got his speech straight from the movie 300. I did not read the Sanskrit. But how do you know more announcers are questioning? And that's, you know what? That's good for your sport, because people are overanalyzing. And all these shows that are out there, including ours, is people come on, they make comments on something, they have opinions on things. They don't have to have your opinion. It's like you don't have to have ours. That's why we can argue with a Rockets fan all day, because we have different opinions on it. But those opinions are what drives interest in your sport. So, yeah, it was kind of a dumb question, but Roy, shut the hell up. CNOJ says, Phil Helmuth plays better poker than me, but I can question a donk move when I see one. Well, absolutely. You know, those guys, when they're on TV and you see everything that's going on, sure, you can question what the hell they were doing. Somebody sent me that hand that was quads over quads. I think it was a World Poker Tour event.
I saw that.
And both guys played those hands miserably. It wound up with the same result. They both wound up all in, which you would expect. But that was about as poorly played quads I've ever seen from guys who are professional players. It's okay to question. It's okay to have comments on that. Twitter wouldn't exist if you couldn't have opinions about things.
And to be fair, for the guy that won, I mean, he ended up maximizing how many chips he could have got. Well, it wasn't the worst play.
Well, but he and of course, there's no way to know what the other guy had. But I'm check calling all the way on with quads until I get to the river, right. And then I'm repopping, because your hand's not going to get better. And what you want to hope that the guy catches something really big so that you can get paid off,
right?
Instead of, let's bet him off right now.
As far as Roy Williams, where do you rank him amongst all-time coaches? Does he even come into the conversation for you?
Not.
Would winning tonight change that?
Not really. I mean, I still would rather have – well, I don't even think he's the best coach in North Carolina history.
Okay.
Can we start with that?
That's fair. But if he wins tonight, he'll have more national titles than Dean Smith.
Okay.
Which is a conversation starter for sure. This would be his third win in 12 years. I mean, that's – if Tom Izzo did that, we'd all be wowed and falling all over ourselves over him. The only coaches that have three national titles, John Wooden, Adolph Rupp, Bobby Knight, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Calhoun. So that's the company he's looking to join tonight. I don't know how many of did any of those guys win titles at two different places? They all won theirs in all
I'm
the same place,
sure
right?
Pretty sure they all won theirs in the same place.
Yeah, so it puts him to
me. Ninth all time in wins.
Yeah.
I might go back into the top five. I would still take Coach K, Boeheim, Knight.
You'd take Boeheim over him?
Yeah, I would probably take Boeheim over him. No, okay. You know what? I need to think about that a little bit. The problem is,
he's like, what do I got to do? I just drove Boeheim out of the building. What's he got to prove?
Some of these guys, well, Boeheim's also got 200 more wins than him.
That's true. He's old.
He is old, but Roy's getting up there.
Yeah.
I've got to kind of take away the fact that I just don't like the guy. Not that I like any of the guys on that list.
If you have a lot of success in college basketball as a coach, you're unlikable.
You're a jerk. Yeah. I would. He coached the difference is, like, Coach K turned Duke into Duke. Duke wasn't Duke before that.
Right.
And he turned it into a program where he's winning national championships. Boeheim did the same thing at Syracuse. Roy Williams walked into Kansas and North Carolina. That would be, and that's not to take away from the fact that he's had success there, but those are schools where you're supposed to win national championships, where you can recruit the best, where you get the best players. So you've got a built-in advantage. You're always going to have an advantage being at Kansas or North Carolina over being at Syracuse. Now, you can make the same argument about Bobby Knight at Indiana.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, he probably is going to be top five, but I'll still take Coach K over him. And I still think that, you know, if he's won more titles than Dean Smith, that's one thing. But I also think, you know, Dean Smith's era was a lot more difficult, I think, in college basketball, because that's when guys were staying longer and they were staying for 3 years and you got a great team together. I think that was a little bit harder to win. And I said, maybe I'm just justifying the fact that I don't like the guy. So.
Well, I'm with you, but it's hard to ignore that if he wins tonight, which, by the way, I still don't think he will. If he does win tonight, though, that's three national championships in 12 years, which not very many people can say they've done.
Texter asks, going to L.A. to play Hold'em tonight. I know the game, but not familiar with the bad beat payoff. Can I get the simplest explanation on what that is? Yeah, absolutely. If you're playing a cash game, and all these places have a bad beat jackpot.
And usually it takes, like, you have to lose with a full house or
better. Well, no, you've got to lose with quads or better most places.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And some places it's quads higher than six or quads higher than eight. So,
yeah
basically, if you have – if you have a hand like that, like say, let's say quad tens, and you lose to quad jacks,
or you lose to a straight flush,
yeah, then you get, if I'm not mistaken, you get in most places you'll get 50% of the pot, and then the guy who won the hand gets like 25, and then the rest gets split up to the other players at the table. I've only been at a table once for that. It was a lot of fun because everybody got a nice payoff at the time, and it was, but it happens pretty rarely. You'll know it if you're at a casino and it happens, because the entire table starts screaming.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. Listen, this is a local company. They're located right there in Pearland. They're doing really cool stuff. I've been talking about this for a while. Basically, what they're doing is aging liquor in oak barrels at a very rapid pace. Aging liquors in oak barrels, it's a tradition that's been around for 4,700-something years. Deep South Barrels custom makes personal-size aging barrels, which basically expedites the process of creating a smooth spirit. So you can put bad booze in it, turn it into good booze in just a short amount of time, usually about 28 days. It removes impurities from house liquor. Oak wood soaks up the impurities. That's what it does. Two-liter barrels take 28 days. They are the nation's premier supplier of miniature American oak customizable barrels. They're based right there in Pearland. You can also take liquors in plastic bottle and turn it into your favorite scotches and whiskeys. It's like magic, I'm telling you. It's great for a gift. If you got a birthday coming up, maybe you're getting married, you need a gift for your groomsmen. It's never too late to begin planning for, or never too early to begin planning for Father's Day. Check these guys out at Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. Promo code Hoffman, you'll get 10% off your entire order when you use that promo code. Deep South Barrels, bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the House of Blues on Caroline for the NCAA Men's National Championship game. Presented in part by Papa John's. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can hit us up on the text line out here at House of Blues. Come join us. Be here until 7 o'clock. One quick follow-up on the bad beat thing that the guy asked about. The best way, if you really want to be at a table to have a chance, is to play limit. And I hate limit because most limit hands will go all the way to the end. And yeah, a lot of time in hold'em, in no limit, it never –
guy's fault, yeah.
It's either going to be pre-flop or it's going to post-flop. You get a lot of hands that never get that far. And that's where the one I was at happened was on a limit table, and it was only because I couldn't get on a no limit table.
I don't particularly like playing cash games, but that is one of the upsides to it.
Yeah, I have gotten so much better at cash. I enjoy it a lot more, but
Plus, I'm not. I mean, I can go in there and hit and run if I want to play for half an hour. I'm not committing to the whole tournament. Sometimes I get bored with those tournaments when they go long. But, but you know, the ones we play in Vegas are all pretty short. So, hey, you want to talk Banshee?
Sure.
Because I've been wanting to. All right. So, if you haven't seen Friday night's Banshee premiere of the final season, the final eight episodes, you might want to turn your radio down. Okay. If I were making a list of people who I thought would be dead in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
I have to say I would have put pretty long odds on Rebecca.
I was so devastated. As you know her, she is one of my favorite characters.
Favorite naked characters, too.
Yes, she's naked often. But I just think she's a great character.
Yeah.
And dead right off the start. I didn't know what to say. My wife, who knows I'm a big fan of hers, was like, "Do you even want to watch the show anymore?" I said, "Well, I have to now. I mean, we're down to there's seven episodes left." But I was very disappointed that she's dead. She is one of my favorites, and from what I understand, she filmed all season, so she's going to be there.
A lot of flashbacks, yeah.
But she is no longer with us, and. What a graphic picture of her with her guts all spilling out.
And we got to see that enough times, didn't we?
I don't like that. I didn't like to see her in that state.
Yeah, I didn't need to see her face 26 times looking like that either.
I didn't need to see her intestines hanging out of her body either.
Yeah, that kind of
ruins the whole fact that her boobs are out.
It definitely is a downer when it comes to your bathroom time.
Yeah, no good.
That's not the image you want of her.
That's ugly.
Yeah, but. I thought it was a terrific episode. I love the way they did it with him being gone for 2 years, and then they picked it all back up, and it moved fast. It was so well done. And
well, this is no surprise.
No,
I mean this. Like I said, I think this is the best show on TV right now. They've done a fantastic job of moving the story along, and like you said the other day, there's never any dead time.
No.
You know, there's no wasted minutes in this show, and that's what I love about it.
And this one had more actual scenes, emotional face scenes than I've seen in any of them, but it worked considering what had happened. And with Kai, there were the stretch where he's sitting there and he throws his food off the table. But I mean, it was just so well done.
I like the storyline with the former Nazi cop.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that. Yeah. Banging his brother's wife.
Yeah, that's always fun.
This is going. I think it's just going to be a fantastic season. But now the countdown in my head is on. Like
I know,
as soon as the end credits run, I'm like, seven more episodes.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now I don't know if Job is alive. I just always assumed he was dead. Now they're making it seem like maybe he's alive. I mean,
yes,
who knows?
And other than Maddie's character, Job's my favorite on the show.
I like
has been from the beginning, and I mean, from the very first episode when a cross-dressing computer hacker shows up. I mean, how do you?
That's my kind of guy.
How do you not fall in love with that, right?
That's right.
And I hope that they find him, but it's been 2 years, and you know, I think they're one way to find him.
No one's feeding a prisoner for 2 years.
No. Unless somebody's using him to hack stuff. It'd be the only thing. That they've got him locked down. But if he could do that, he'd find a way to get out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I got to think. I think he's dead. So, anyway, it was fantastic, though. And that show is so good. And I think if it goes on this trajectory, and this really is the last season, that it's got a chance to be one of the all-time greats. Because they will have told a whole story.
You know how, enough Banshee talk for a minute, but I want to stay on entertainment. You remember we were talking about Batman Superman? Have you seen it yet, John?
I have not.
Fred?
I have not seen it yet, no.
Okay, remember?
Waiting for my kids.
A lot of people were pointing at the Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Yeah.
There's a story out now on Yahoo. Basically, you know, we're seeing that they had a big Friday to Sunday drop, but then it had a big Monday box office, so it's still making pretty good dough. And there's a lot of fans and detractors of the movie, people on both sides. You know, people like it, people hate it. But several prominent comic creators, including Dan Slott, who's the Amazing Spider-Man creator, have been arguing that Batman vs. Superman is very good, and or very bad. He's been arguing with fans, been arguing with critics. Some of the fans of the movie have even claimed that it has suffered from a critics' conspiracy in which movie critics deliberately panned the film because they were on Disney's payroll. Basically, the Marvel people are telling critics how to spread their word, which would be unfortunate.
That's silly.
But Rotten Tomatoes, they still have, currently it's sitting at 28%, which is lower than Daredevil, Spider-Man 3, and Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. That's pretty bad company.
You mean the Rise of Morpheus?
Right. But the Batman vs. Superman Rotten Tomatoes score might be getting unfairly deflated, and some reviews were being labeled rotten despite giving the movie mixed or even largely positive reviews. One anonymous tipster's argument centered around 30 or so reviews that had middling scores ranging from a C-plus to a 3 out of 5 stars. While there's plenty of criticism, they didn't claim the movie was an abomination against God and man either. But all of these are being put as rotten scores.
Isn't that the case with a lot of stuff, though? Well, your 3 stars gets a rotten.
One guy said that he rather liked Batman vs. Superman, gave it a 6 out of 10. But people are wondering why the score isn't higher. For instance, Jurassic World, which rated 72% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, had 18 comparable reviews listed as rotten, even though several of the reviews praised the movie's effects, pull on nostalgia, or overall spectacle of dinosaurs eating humans.
That movie was awful.
Iron Man 2, also rated 72%, had 17 rotten reviews that called the film entertaining and fun while still scoring the movie at a B- or below. While some critics have given Batman vs. Superman some faint praise, Rotten Tomatoes has a pretty established history of giving C or 3 out of 5 star reviews using a rotten rating.
Yeah,
unless
that's what
the review contained overwhelming praise or ultimately recommended going to see the movie. It should be noted that Batman had over 23 out of 5 reviews listed as fresh, and those reviews ultimately encouraged readers to see the film and were more positive in tone. Similarly, Jurassic World and Iron Man 2 also had a large amount of 3 out of 5 fresh, which ultimately recommended seeing the movie and dished out far more praise than comparable rotten reviews. So they're saying even if the Rotten Tomato standards were lower and every mediocre review were listed as fresh instead of rotten, Batman vs. Superman score would be 39% instead of what it stands at now, which is really, really, really bad at 28%. But they're saying there's no conspiracy to artificially lower it. Fans can take comfort knowing that 72% of Rotten Tomatoes users liked the film. So it's getting about 3.8 out of 5 stars, which is a fairly high score. So even though the reviews aren't great, people are still enjoying the movie, it seems. Well, I recommend it to you guys.
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it. It's going to happen. It's just I've been waiting for my kids to be available so I can go with them, and they haven't been. So either I've been out of town or they've been out of town. So no, but I plan on seeing it, and I have a low threshold for those kind of movies. They don't have to be anything special,
right? It's cheap entertainment,
and I like fun stories, and I know it's not going to be the Dark Knight trilogy. I know that going in. So why should I? Why would I have expectations of that?
Here's the other thing: cost $250 million to make.
Yeah.
Currently, it's brought in $424 million.
You know, I'd be curious.
I think they're doing okay.
Well, yeah, they're not worried about freaking Rotten Tomatoes. But you know what I always wonder about when they say it grosses that much versus how – I wonder how much of that they actually make in profit on the movie.
Yeah, well, I wonder if advertising budget is taken into account, things like that.
Right, because when you say gross, it sounds like an awesome number. But how much do they spend on advertising? How much of that goes to the theaters? How much of that's going to – Yeah, I don't know where all that money goes, so I'd rather know what it's netted.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any way they can tell you that.
But I'm sure they're doing okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're complaining. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We will do the Zadeye Jewelers Gym of the Day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN. We are back on the Blitz here, live at House of Blues. So if you're looking for something to do, get your tails out here. By the way, the official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. All right, I think I'm probably stealing from Hoffman on Hollywood with our gym of the day today, but let's do the gym of the day. It's only Monday, right?
Yeah.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Bannock Jeweler gym of the day.
Are you familiar with the television show Trailer Park Boys?
I am.
Are you a fan?
It's all right.
Yeah, my wife loves that show. Obviously, it's Canadian, so she's
all over
it.
Canadian humor.
Yeah. I think they yell too much. I don't really I don't think much of it. But are you familiar with the character Bubbles?
I am.
Michael Smith, who on the show plays pretty dorky guy with these giant glasses. And, well, apparently he was accused of domestic battery over the weekend. Which, if you've ever seen a picture of this guy, his character looks, let's be honest, his character looks like he's on the same websites as Jared from Subway.
Right.
And the funny part about it is, at the end of each season, they all get arrested every year. So, apparently, though, he and his girlfriend, Georgia Ling, said that they did indeed have a heavy argument, but it saddens me the way things are being reported and the way it was handled by the police. Apparently, he shoved her up against a wall during a heated argument. He said, George is a friend of mine, and we had a loud and heated dispute, that is all. At no time did I assault her. I am not guilty of the misdemeanor charged against me. So, of course, the Canadian show, which you can get on Netflix, members of the Trailer Park Boys and all staff stand behind Mike and look forward to the matter being resolved favorably with the EU, of course, and favorably.
Well, that story sounds oddly familiar to Vince Young's case.
Yeah?
Have you heard what Vince is going through?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Vince says this is a shameless money grab, which, how much money does Vince Young have right now?
Not enough to for people to be grabbing.
I don't think people are doing a money grab on Vince Young. They're probably saving that for dudes who still have money. But the woman who sued him for an alleged assault, he says that's what she's going for. Young's attorneys say that she first made this allegation privately to Vince more than a year ago. And Vince's legal team interviewed several key witnesses. There were four people in the car, all who backed Young's denial of the incident. Young's team says the witness testimony, including people who saw her after the alleged hair-pulling assault, made it clear the incident never happened and it was presented to her attorneys. That's why Young's lawyers think her lawsuit is a clear attempt to extract money from Vince. They say that he is planning on filing a counter-lawsuit against her. And not only that, there's still more assaults going on.
Yes.
Marcus Vick.
Oh, does that count anymore?
Former, I guess he was technically a football player.
Yeah.
The younger brother of Michael Vick, arrested in Virginia for assault on Sunday night, was booked in his hometown for felony assault on a police officer, resisting arrest,
failed.
Obstruction of justice, and destruction to property. Police said there was already a warrant out for his arrest stemming from an incident in another county. They learned he was in town, found him at a local business. When cops tried to arrest him, he pushed one of the officers and ran away. He was taken into custody after a short chase and is being held without bail. After a short chase, what's up with that 40 time, Marcus? That's why you're not in the league anymore, bro. You're getting caught after a short chase? I mean, I understand if you're gassing out long term, but 40 yards, you ought to be able to beat the cops, right?
You would think, although who knows what kind of shape he's in these days. Maybe he's put on a bunch of weight.
Yeah, could be.
But, yeah, remember when he was the bad Vic?
Yeah.
And then the dog thing happened and everybody forgot about him?
Marcus Vick has always been the bad social media Vick.
Yeah.
He's the one who always says things on Twitter that Michael Vick's going like, oh, bro, just shut up. Delete your account. Do something. Please. I don't need this.
Anyway, there's your combined Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Your Rangers have won today. 3-2 is the final over the Mariners.
Good deal.
So there you go. We kind of talked a little baseball yesterday on the meat show, and sort of gave our predictions a little bit. I'll recap some of that here in the next hour, but I kind of think people are getting a little too Cub crazy. The national media is just all over the Cubs. I still think that's Cardinals division to win or lose. And I think the Pirates are going to be in there still. I'm just not totally sold on this Cubs team yet for a lot of the reasons why you're not totally sold on the Astros.
Right.
And I think that they have some good young talent, but, you know, what if they peaked last year? I mean, what if that's what they're going to be? And that's good, but is it going to be good enough this year?
Are they a playoff team to you?
I am going to boldly predict no. I'm going to take the Cardinals to win that division. I'm going to take the Giants to win the West.
You know what? Let's save it for the other side. We haven't given our official baseball projections for the season.
But we kind of did yesterday.
Yesterday doesn't count, Fred. You know
it counted for the eight people listening.
It was a Sunday show.
But there were eight people listening, maybe 10.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. There's going to be a ton of cops out tonight. There's going to be a ton of people out tonight. If you find yourself in trouble for DWI, accused of DWI, you need to know about attorney Gary Trichter. Remember, the science behind these police blood tests, these breath tests, is inaccurate. It's faulty. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He is one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's experienced in going to a trial setting and defending these cases. Not very many DWI lawyers can say that. You could get one out of the phone book, and they probably defended a DWI case before, but they're more than likely going in pleading guilty, knocking on wood, and hoping the judge goes easy on you. That's not the case with Gary Trichter, who's fighting these cases based on the faulty science behind the testing. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010. That's 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.